It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Penguins aren't the only ones enjoying their deep playoff run. A Steeler is stabbed on the south side, and somewhere in the Allegheny River is a baseball worth a tidy sum of money. I'm joined now by our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Well, thank you. A little better for us today than for Penguins fans Saturday night. The Penguins host the Bruins in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight at the Consol. And the Penguins, in spite of that one loss, it's a best-of-seven series, and they're only one series away from making it to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in 4 years. I'm curious about what the economic impact to Pittsburgh is of this long playoff run.
Oh, it can't help but, I mean, it helps tremendously when you think about the parking concessions, the dinner, the restaurants, the bars, and people coming into the city. You got another team that's visiting. You got out of town fans. It's a huge shot in the arm for the city. I see some numbers like each playoff game is worth like $20 million to the city in total revenues.
Each game, one game is worth $20 million to the city of Pittsburgh.
Right, right. When you talk about, you're talking about hotels and, you know, all the other ancillary benefits that come with people coming into the town. So it does mean a lot in the pocketbook.
And, of course, this year we saw a much shorter season because of the NHL lockout, a season that would have begun in early October, didn't get started till late January. So you lost nearly 4 months of revenue for all of those ancillary businesses and concessions. So does this long run for the Penguins, which in the last few years has ended after the first round, does this extra couple of rounds help make up some of the money that was lost earlier this year?
Yeah, it helps make up. I don't know if it recovers everybody, because a lot of those businesses, their margin of profit is so small that they were on the verge of not making it at all. So it does help make it up. I don't know if it recovers everything, but boy, you can see some restaurant owners and tavern owners who have smiles on their faces, and they'll continue the longer the Penguins go into this run.
Let's talk a little bit about an aspect of the game that has generated some controversy. In Game 1, there was a dangerous hit, or what was judged to be a dangerous hit by the officials on the ice. Matt Cook of the Penguins, who has a reputation for being a rough player, was ejected from the game for hitting a Bruins player from behind and hitting him into the glass. It, for a lot of fans, I'm sure it didn't look unlike a lot of what they see. So why was Matt Cook ejected? Why was this hit so controversial, Bob?
Well, right. And, you know, you'd have to ask the two referees who were calling that game on why they gave him a dangerous conduct for that, because, Sidney Crosby's been hit worse than that. And later in the same game, James Neal was hit by Marchand along the boards, and that was just as an egregious a hit, and he got a 2-minute penalty. When it comes to hockey officiating, the penalty is what the referees call, not exactly what's in the book. It's, you know, but, you know, then again, you know, if you're a player, like Paul Martin says, whatever they call. It's up to the players to keep on playing.
And as far as...
I would say in Matt Cook's case, you know, he gets penalized for stuff he's done in the past. And they keep saying, no, that's not the case. It's on a penalty-by-penalty basis. But if your reputation precedes you, they are more likely to be calling the heavier penalties than the minor ones.
So will Matt Cook be in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, there wasn't a suspension. There wasn't a hearing on it. It was called on the ice. And it has had an impact. There's no question about that. But, yeah, he should be on the ice tonight.
All right, good to hear. Bob Dvorak is our guest. He joins us each and every Monday to talk sports. He's a Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. Over the weekend, Bob, Steelers tackle Mike Adams was stabbed during an incident that occurred at 3 in the morning on the south side. This was on Saturday night going into Sunday morning. What do we know about what happened?
Yeah, and apparently from the police reports, it was an attempted theft of his car. You know, he'd done all the right things before. He left his keys with the valet service, but the valet service closed, and he's going to his car, and it's late at night, and it was the three men tried to steal his car, and there was an altercation, and he got stabbed twice after someone put a gun to his head. I mean, if you're asking me, I'd say my advice is stay off the south side late at night. But, you know, you can't stop people from where they going where they want to go.
Well, you know, the Steelers have had some problems of different, all sorts of various natures on the south side. Do you think it may come to that, that the coach, Mike Tomlin, might say, look, you guys, stay away from there?
I think it is. You know, they've tried to talk to them, you know, about policies. Look, if you're going to go out, don't drive, get a designated driver, and then avoid any places where there might be potential trouble, because you are who you are, and trouble might find you. I think they might maybe reinforce that policy a little more after this, because you just don't want to see this stuff happen. It's avoidable.
And they say nothing good happens at 2 or 3 in this case in the morning.
In the morning.
Right. On to happier thoughts. Yesterday, the Pirates won an exciting game with Cincinnati, and Garrett Jones, a left-handed hitter, became the first Pittsburgh player to hit a ball completely out of PNC Park. This thing was a titanic shot. It left the park and landed in the Allegheny River on the fly. And because of the historic nature of this home run, the ball, if it turns up, might be worth something, but it apparently has not been found. What can you tell us about this, Bob?
Well, you know, a baseball can float for about 5 minutes. Then it gets waterlogged and goes down into Davy Jones's locker. Guy jumped in and tried to retrieve it. I guess he wasn't fast enough. I was there when it was Darryl Ward playing for the Houston Astros hit the first one into the river. And when they built the park, I thought there would be more balls that reach there, but that's a blast to get it out over those stands and then to reach a river on the fly. If the ball sunk and it's down at the bottom of the river in the riverbed somewhere, God bless somebody trying to retrieve that. And I don't even know now how you could prove that it was the actual ball. So that one just might be... It might be part of the myth of Garrett Jones's blast that it was never retrieved from the river. It could be in Cincinnati by now.
And we're down to just a few seconds, but how much would it be worth, Bob?
The market's set by whatever price people want to pay for it. I don't know if it's, you know, anybody in the Garrett Jones family or Pittsburgh would think that this is. I don't think it's the $3 million Mark McGwire ball or the Barry Bonds ball, but it's. It might be worth something on the memorabilia market.
I'm going to go grab my scuba gear. Bob Dvorak joining us. He is the sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out his video blog, Sports and That. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.